Representative Zawacki.
Point of information, Mr. Speaker. Chairman of Labor and Commerce said that people would be testifying this afternoon at 3:30. I was wondering if that invitation has also gone out to the Director, Linda Rexwinkle, because she did testify on the Senate side. I think it would be unfair if she was not allowed to testify on the House side and allowing other people to testify. I'm sure it's in regards to that situation.
Representative Engelstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker is absolutely right. I have already invited Ms. Rexwinkle.
Any further committee announcements? Any general announcements? Special orders? Representative Gonzalez?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on the Great Indian Ice Classic.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Yeah. Just a reminder, Mr. Speaker, that today is the last day that you may purchase the tickets for the Ice Classic. Last night got a little cold. I was warning you folks that might be thinking it's going to go early, that you might have second thoughts, because it really got cold last night, and that's what makes the difference in the ice. If you guys want to take a chance, just come over to my office, and we'll take care of you. Thank you.
Sounds like Representative Moyer.
Speaker, permission of the body to speak on baseball.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Play ball, that's the cry being heard across the land today as the National League and the American League resume their play of the national pastime. I myself am a lifelong fan of baseball. I know there are several in this room who are as well. But to me, it's more than a sport. It's a ritual. It marks the beginning of spring with the onset of the season and marks fall when we come to the World Series in October. It's a way to stay young forever. I remember very well my first trip to a major league park. It happened to be the house that Ruth built, Yankee Stadium, and later on to Flushing Meadows at the site of the World's Fair where Shea Stadium was built for the Mets. But right here in Alaska, we have high-quality baseball, Mr. Speaker. We have the Alaska League semi-pro or amateur summer league ball. And today you may have noticed a citation passed for one of the most notable players to ever play in that league. Tom Seaver of the New York Mets, of the Cincinnati Reds, and other teams played right here in Fairbanks or in 1964 and 65, coached by none other than a former member of this body, Representative Red Boucher. Tom helped the Panthers go on to the national championship finals in 64, and so thought so much about it, wrote about it in his book, The Perfect Game, that he authored. And many of you, or some of you, may remember seeing Tom Seaver pitch. I never did see him in Alaska. I certainly saw him pitch in the other, in New York. And, Mr. Speaker, he was a great. And he's now the first Alaska leaguer to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and has done so with a record 98.8% being elected into that body. And in fact, in the other body, Senator Kraft used to be a Panther parent and remembers very well him playing at Groudon Park. And I would be remiss if I didn't note the Tom Seaver cards found on your desk today. These and the other sets are available, of course, from the order blank on your desks, as well as from other teams in the Alaska League, such as the Bucks and Pilots from Anchorage. I just want to leave one note from a noted baseball philosopher. Maybe we could learn a little bit from Yogi Berra when he once said, you can observe a lot by watching.
Are there any further special? Representative Mary Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to ask permission of the body to speak on tough times and hard choices.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I had not intended to speak today, but in my flight down from Anchorage this morning, I picked up the Anchorage Times business section and was reading about the impending layoffs at BP Exploration of Alaska. And I also am aware that other companies in the oil industry of Alaska have steadily been cutting back, have been finding economies in order to continue the revenue stream and to preserve production on the North Slope within a budget. And as we all know, our colleagues worked over the weekend on the Finance Committee, and I applaud them for that. The state of Alaska is going through tough times and hard choices in regard to our budget. I just think we need to put a face on the choices that are being made. And when I look at the article, and I urge members to read it, they talk about having some compassion for the workers, involving them in some of the decision making. And it's tough. But we see the private sector making the effort, completing the process. My concern is that as we go about our budget considerations to the final vote, that we recognize that there will have to be cuts, and that the state of Alaska has in the past done numerous studies. 1989, the legislature went out to the public and explained the problem of reduction of output at the North Slope fields. And the people said then, you must cut back. You must reduce state operating expenses. One of the things I did once I got back to my office was to call the Director of Human Resources for BP Exploration Alaska, Don Packham. I had never spoken to him before, but some questions were raised in my mind as I read the article. And I asked him for some statistics, if he could give me the idea of the profile of the average BP employee. And that employee, he or she is approximately 42 years old, married, a homeowner. They have an average of two children, and those children are in the schools of Anchorage, Fairbanks, Eagle River. He said that currently they have about 37 people in Fairbanks, 100 in Eagle River. And half of those that are employed in Anchorage do commute to the North Slope. The other question I had was, just are these a transient bunch of people that their leaving will not really have an impact on our lives? But many of us know that these people are community volunteers. They're our neighbors. Their children go to school with our children. And I asked him, how many of these people will take advantage of the buyout that you do for their homes and take that trip back to the lower 48? And what are the expressions that they give to you as their human resources director? And he said, typically, these people want to stay in Alaska. These are well-educated, highly trained people, and they find the atmosphere and the frontier spirit in Alaska to be very stimulating, and they want to stay. But because we are not a diversified economy, these people go out and they look for employment. They can't find anything comparable, and in fact, jobs are scarce no matter what level of employment they are trying to achieve. And so ultimately, because they're faced with this debt of their house, they do go out. But he said, many of them do come back. He said, some of them in 8 or 10 months, if they can secure another job. In discussing this, I'm trying to put a face on the people who are facing the hardship, facing the hard times, and dealing with the hard choices. And I can sympathize with those who worked over the weekend, because every decision can ultimately affect a family and their home and their experience day in and day out of being an Alaskan and having the security of a paycheck there and knowing what's going to happen in the future. But as we consider this budget, we need to be reminded that the private sector has to operate within a budget. And one of my constituents reminded me back in March when I went back for a constituent hearing that certainly we could consider ways of providing more financial sustenance to the state of Alaska through user fees and sales taxes and income taxes, but he said his concern is that as the industry that pays 85% of the state operating budget, as that industry cuts back, his concern is that slowly but surely there will be no one or very few jobs to provide the taxable incomes that we may want to tax with an income tax. I know personally that my husband has been involved in these layoff procedures, and he's seen fine young men with families with adorable little children, and the tough times and hard choices meant that he had to let someone go. It's heartrending, and it brought back to me as I read this article today that there are faces, there are families behind what we're doing as we consider and as the Finance Committee does its work. I would urge that we find it within ourselves to be able to make those hard choices with compassion. And I'm glad that I was able this morning to have that few minutes to pick up the paper and be reminded that there are some hard choices to make and there are tough times ahead. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we might have permission of the floor to speak on revenue enhancers.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, my office has been contacted over the weekend and on last Friday by several members of the trucking industry in the state of Alaska. They're very concerned about HB 574, which is one of several pieces of legislation. You can tell by the number, it's recent, created and coming out of the House Finance Committee. I think we're probably going to see an entire series or packet of bills of this nature. And the reason I'm mentioning it on the floor today is that I think it is important for us to remember that we call them revenue enhancers here, but what they really amount to is they're a specific head tax, if you will, on a given industry, a given person, and every single one of them is a tax on jobs in this state. That's the only place to save money. I mean, either that or recreation, and we're not going to hit that recreation guy too hard because this is an election year and you don't want to hit them too hard. They might remember it. So instead, we're going to go after industry. And what we're doing is, let's go nail the truckers. Let's pull money out of them for the Dalton Highway. Let's pull money out of them for the Taylor Highway, for all I know. I mean, my God, if some people had their way around here, we'd put a toll gate on every road in the state. I got a toll gate on every road in my district, Mr. Speaker. I pay 50% of the cost of traveling from one town to another in my district on state highways. It's called the Marine Highway. I pay through the nose to use that rascal. And maybe that'd be a more level playing field. Mr. Speaker. Maybe you and I wouldn't have to lobby so hard for our marine highway system if, in fact, other people around here paid 50% of the cost every time they drove down a road to go between Anchorage and Fairbanks, and every time in the wintertime that it needed a little maintenance, they could shut that road down for a month or two and let them know what that was, that felt like. But we can't do that, and I'm certainly not going to wish the agonies and frustrations we put up with in our districts on anyone else. It's tough enough for us to live with them. But I just want to mention this to everybody in the body. This revenue enhancer stuff, I'll guarantee you, I'm going to be voting against most of it on this floor. It's one thing to say to somebody, well, you've got this great business out there, so now we're going to double or triple the cost of your license. We're going to double or triple the cost of your getting your employees certified, of getting your certificate to be a barber or whatever. That's a specific tax on that guy. And that's got to come out of his business, which means his price has got to go up. And if that's the kind of thing we're going to do, let's take a real hard look at what DEC is currently doing, too. User fees, $10,000, because we just happened to decide we're going to drop in and do an inspection on your plant. Now you get the fun of paying for the inspection that we decided to do. You can literally bankrupt a guy pretty quick doing that sort of stuff to him. So let's watch this stuff pretty careful. And the reason I bring up this one is, I really think, and I'm encouraging the body to reconsider this part, that should have a referral to the Transportation Committee chairman. I've talked with him. He has not been consulted yet on this one. And I think that trucker's bill should go to the Transportation Committee and at least let him have a chance to yell. Otherwise, what we're doing is, we're going to very quickly, at the end of this session, impose a whole bunch of specific taxes on businesses without giving those people an opportunity to appear except at one very brief hearing in front of one committee on the House side. And I don't think that's adequate notice for the kind of taxes we're going to be imposing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we please go back up to unfinished business?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
I'd like to amend the request for one of Representative Mackey's excused absences and make it from Thursday, April 16 at 8 a.m. rather than 5 p.m. to Monday, April 20 at 10 p.m. rather than 8:05 p.m. Ask unanimous consent.
At ease here a minute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Unanimous. I'm going to withdraw. I move and ask unanimous consent to withdraw the motion.
Motion is withdrawn.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. on Wednesday.
10 a.m. on Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.
Oh, I couldn't hear what you said. I thought you said today, not 10 a.m. Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.
Today.